Tell you tonight, this has been one of, in just the short time that we've already been in it, it's already been a huge blessing to me, because Ephesians is, I believe, a pivotal, and I mean absolute pivotal, book in the New Testament for the believers. I want you to find your place in Ephesians chapter 1, and while you're finding your place there, let me just give you three thoughts today. You may want to use the back of your prayer page as a place to take notes or something like that, and since we're not too far into it, there will still just be some introductory things that we give, but we're going to begin in verse 1 and verses 2 and verses 3 of the first chapter, and we may even be back there again next week, because there's more to get there than what we'll get tonight. And so we'll be back in that, but I want you to see a few of the things that, or remember a few things that we talked about, and I can give you a little summary of what is the book of Ephesians all about. Three things tonight. Number one, the book of Ephesians is how we become in Christ. How do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the what? Gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm glad that I don't have to work for my salvation, because that would be impossible. The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. You say, well, why would God say such harsh things about this? Really, about us, rather. Really, it's not harsh. It's just the comparison is so harsh between our minuscule efforts at righteousness compared to Jesus' true, pure holiness and righteousness. And so Ephesians tells us how we become in Christ. Secondly, Ephesians, and this is the one where a lot of believers really struggle with this, Ephesians tells you who you are in Christ. Ephesians is the great book of identity in the New Testament. It tells you who you are. It tells you all about what Jesus has given you. And then thirdly, it teaches you what kind of life Christ intended for every believer to live. Now, those are three things, I believe, those are the three most key elements to anyone's life, is to know, how do you get saved? How do you know Christ is your personal Savior? How do you know that you know that you know that when you die, you can spend eternity not in a burning hell, but in a place called heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's going to be sinless, and it's going to be no pain, and there's going to be no COVID there, and there's not going to be anything there worth complaining about. I promise you, none of us are going to be complaining in heaven. That's the first thing, is how do we know how to be in Christ? The second thing is then, who are we once we're in Christ? The Bible says that when you get saved, when you become a child of God, that you are a new creature. And I believe the key to this is, and this is for our church tonight, the key is that many of us never learn what that new creature is supposed to be, and we never learn what kind of access we have with our new identity, if you will. And then lastly, how do I live the life that Christ intended for me to live? It's an interesting thing, because I did, much like some of you are doing right now, I've just been reading and reading, and I cheat every once in a while, most of the time now, because I've read it so many times. I'll put it in my earbuds and just listen to it and just let it play in my mind. One of the things I know about Scripture is that if we don't understand it, it's not because it's not true, it's because we need the Holy Spirit to explain it to us. And one of the only ways that I've ever been successful at truly understanding what Scripture says is just to keep eating it and keep digesting it and keep meditating on it and keep listening to it and keep reading it over and over and over again. And honestly, until some of us learn that, we're really going to have a hard time with our Christian walk. But that's what I've been doing. And one of the things I noticed as I've read and I've listened and I've tried to study and live in it is that Ephesians teaches us so much in the first chapter about what the will of God is. I can't talk about it tonight because I'm tempted to go get ahead of myself. I want to wait till we get there. But four different times in chapter 1, the will of God is mentioned. Then it's not mentioned again until chapters 5 and chapter 6. So it's mentioned six different times, an average of one per chapter, if you will. But that's that last part of Ephesians. What kind of life does God intend for me to live? You know, the only way that you'll know your true purpose in life is if you understand who you are in Christ. And you cannot understand who you are in Christ if you're not in Christ in the first place. So it works the same way backwards and forwards. What is the primary content of the book? This is, again, very introductory tonight, but I put this on the screen for us, and these are just basic thoughts here. First of all, the primary thought of the book of Ephesians, it can be split into two parts, but it's better if it's split into three, I think. We mentioned last week our wealth and our walk, but it could be more appropriately put into, number one, the Christian's wealth. That's our calling, to live in the wealth and in the riches that God has given to us. I want you to look with me, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 1, and let's find verse number 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. And just for reference, I would circle that if I were you. You don't have to do that, but that's what I'm doing in my Bible. To the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful, there's this phrase, in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, he says, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 3 comes, it's very key, and it's really not even the entire sentence, but we'll just give you verse 3 tonight to consider. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Let me tell you, as we study through the book of Ephesians, you are going to find that you, if you're saved tonight, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've been born again this evening, you are a rich man. You are a rich woman. You are a rich teenager. You are a wealthy individual because the Bible says that God has given us spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and there's that phrase again, in Christ. So the only way you have access to this is the Christian's wealth is if you're in Christ. What is being in Christ? That's me. Our wealth is me in Christ, rather. Number two, the Christian's walk is then covered in chapters 4 through the first part of chapter 6. So what is the Christian's walk all about? Again, we won't get too far ahead of ourselves, but that's our conduct. Do you believe God cares about how we live our lives? I do. I think God cares about every thought because the Bible says every idle thought's going to be brought before us, and every deed, and I think he cares about every word, and I think he cares about every philosophy or worldview that we adopt, all of those things. God cares very much about that because all of those things affect our walk. And if our wealth is that we're in Christ, then our walk is Christ in us. It's living through us. You see, the first part is of what we have in him. The second part is what everyone else is supposed to see as Christ lives his goodness and glory through us. Now, let me just say this tonight. Lifestyle evangelism won't do it all, but there ought to be something different about a believer. It ought to be noticeable. It ought to be such that someone could look at you and say, there's something different. There's something peculiar. Most of us spend our lives, and if you're like me, especially I think this, and this is just personal for me, with all that we've gone through in the last year, whether you think it's a real or a hoax, whether you've had it or you haven't had it, if it's done one thing to us, it's caused us to be less personable. Okay, when I walk into Walmart, let me just tell you, that wasn't a pleasant experience before COVID. But I don't make eye contact with anybody anymore. And that's in my flesh. But you know, if we want Christ to be obvious in our lives, we're going to have to start surrendering ourselves to allowing him to work through us. Now, that's a big ask for some of us. And I always, you know, I think about this. Some people's natural personality is bubbly and exciting and outgoing. Have you ever met someone who'd never met a stranger before? I mean, that's what a lot of you are like. Others of you are so the opposite of that. I'm not even going to describe it. You know who you are. And you know what I've had to learn? And by the way, I'm more on the outgoing side of things. I understand that. But I've had to learn not to use my personality as an excuse. I've had to learn that it's not about who I am, it's about who I am in Christ. And if we focus on who we are and our individuality and our flesh, then we're going to have a hard time with our witness because we're so focused on me, that I'm not allowing, by surrendering myself to the Lord, I'm not allowing that light to shine. That is the Lord Jesus Christ in me. The third thing is the Christian's warfare. Ephesians chapter 6. Man, we're not going to turn there tonight, but what an awesome passage of Scripture to know that when we go into battle, we don't go alone, nor do we go unprotected or unarmed. We go in with the armor of God. And again, we can't take our own armor in. We can't take our personality or our determination or our own will into the battle with us because as strong as some of those may be for some of us, they're not sustainable. So the point is that God wants each and every one of us to see in his word how It's not about who we are in our flesh, and it's not about who we think we are or what the world says we are. It's about who Christ is. And that is an unchangeable factor, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now the key words of the book are found not in this exact wording, but in 90 different formats, if you will. In the book of Ephesians, you can find the terminology or the inference of in Christ. In Christ. What we can tell by that is that God really wants us to know what our position is. He wants us to know who we are. He wants us to know when we accepted Jesus, what we got with that. Now, to properly understand Ephesians, a believer has to understand that we are perpetually, in this life, we are perpetually engaged in spiritual conflict. How many of you believe that you as a Christian have to endure spiritual warfare? I do. And it could be in any aspect of life. For me, today as I was studying, I was having a hard time concentrating. It's amazing. I can concentrate on a lot of other things, but I opened the Bible. And Brother Dean Miller was here not too long ago, and he talked to us about this. He said, have you ever noticed you can be laser-focused until you go to pray? Then every thought and everything that you're trying to do is coming at you, and from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not even of your lusts? And you ask not because you have not, or you have not because you ask not. All that stuff comes into play. But you know, we're engaged in spiritual warfare. Today I was studying and I was trying to prepare for tonight, and I paused for 30 seconds and I said, Lord, I don't know if it's because I'm being attacked or if it's just because of my flesh, but I know, Lord, that you want me to know what this book says. And I was struggling. I was having a hard time. And what I learned from that, and that was actually what we find in this, is that I have to understand as a Christian, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that conflict is a part of life. And spiritual conflict will last as long as the believer does. Now, here's the great thing about spiritual conflict. When a soldier goes to war, he doesn't just go to war with the resources that he brings. If a United States military soldier goes into war, and tomorrow we're going to honor our veterans and active service and all that kind of thing, when they go into battle, you know what they're going in with? They're going in with the resources of the United States of America. They're going in with much more than what they themselves had to offer. They were given equipment. They were given training. They were given a bunch of different things that they might need to go in and be successful on the battlefield. And the same is true of every Christian. You here tonight, when you go to battle, you don't have to go by yourself. You go in with the resources that we're going to learn about in Ephesians 1 through 3. That's why it's so important that we know what this book says. Is because we are learning in this that the Bible says in verse 3 that we have been blessed. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And listen to this tonight. Key thought for us this evening. If a Christian's going to walk in victory, he must learn how to make full use of the resources. He must learn how to make full use of the resources. So in order to walk in victory, we need three things. We need to know three things. A believer needs to know his position, that he is in Christ. He needs to know his possessions, that he is blessed with spiritual blessings and spiritual armor. And no doubt when we get to it, we'll even understand better Ephesians 5, the Holy Spirit of God, be filled with the Spirit. But that leads us to a third thing, and this is just all to help us understand where we're going to spend our time the rest of the evening. That once we realize our position and once we actively use our possessions, then we get to realize the product. And you say, what is the product of one who walks and wars in the Spirit and with the spiritual blessings and resources that God has bestowed upon us? The answer is very simple. God blesses us with something called the abundant Christian life. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it, finish it with me, more abundantly. Now, just think about that tonight. When a believer puts these resources to good use, no spiritual enemy can have victory in his or her life. The book of Ephesians reveals this to us tonight, that not only is the eternal life possible through salvation, but also the abundant life is possible for every believer to live. Every believer who is in Christ can have and has access to what Jesus called the abundant life. Now, here's the problem. There are a lot of people who have eternal life who do not have the abundant life. And a lot of those people go to our churches. Some of those people pastor churches, teach Sunday school classes. Some of those people do all kinds of good things. I'm not minimizing what they do. So tonight I just want to give you several statements this evening. Again, we're working our way in and we're in no rush. We may not get done for 3 years. I don't know. Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote 8 books on the 6 chapters of Ephesians. But I am not as smart as him, so it won't take us that much, okay? I want to give you several statements and contrast between eternal life and abundant life to help us think tonight. And if you care to write them down, you can. Otherwise, I can give them to you later. Maybe we'll post it, something like that. But in a physical realm, we would use the term quality of living, quality of life. Be a better word to use for the physical side. Most Christians, spiritually speaking, and I say most because I really do believe it's most. Most Christians live on spiritual life support. They have eternal life. They have salvation. They've been saved. They've accepted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. They know him as their personal Savior, but they don't know him. They don't know him as the one who can give them abundant life. And I think that understanding the difference between the two actually could help us. So let's start with number one tonight. Eternal life is the result of the second birth. Eternal life is the result of the second birth. The Bible says you must be born again. No spiritual development takes place in anyone's life until they have first been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, until they first had their sins forgiven and washed clean by the blood of Christ. You see, when we get saved, that changes us positionally and it changes us directionally. Someone who is unsaved, let me just tell you this tonight. Someone who's unsaved, when their physical life ends, their soul, just like a saved person, but in different directions, their soul is going to live forever somewhere. Once this physical life ends, the Bible says the grave is not the end. And that's true whether you're lost or saved. But if you're lost, the Bible says that that is eternal doom, eternal punishment, and that punishment the reason for that punishment is because we've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is a great analogy that I heard recently, but in order to be saved, you have to have 2 birthdays. Or it could be said like this, in order to be saved, it's more than just believing in God. For instance, in 2009, I think it was 2009 is when I got engaged to my beautiful wife. And we had dated for about a year at that time, maybe a little bit more. And up to that point, can I tell you what? I believed in marriage. I was looking forward to it. I loved, at that point, I loved who is my wife now. I loved Cheryl, and I believed in marriage, and I knew it was something that was going to happen and all of those things, but I'd never been married. It's kind of similar to how some people look at salvation. Say, oh, I believe in God. Has anyone ever told you, you say, well, are you going to go to heaven when you die? Well, sure, I believe in God. Well, understand the statement, and depending on how you mean it, you might be in the right. But if you say, I believe there is a God, I believe he created the world, I believe that he is powerful and in control and all of those things, if you believe all of those things and never receive him, the Bible says that it's important that you have 2 birthdays. One, the date of your birth. 2, the day or the time of your spiritual birth. Nicodemus couldn't understand that. He said, how can a man be born again when he is old? Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. He said, don't be surprised by this. He said, one is physical, but the other is spiritual. And that spiritual rebirth happens when we place our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So our eternal life is a result of being born again. It's the result of the second birth. But abundant life has to do with the way a believer lives after being born again. Let me give you the second statement here. A person comes into possession of eternal life when he places his faith in Christ alone. Let me stop there. If you're trusting in Christ plus your works, that does not equal salvation. If you say, well, I trust that Jesus died for me, but I think I also have to be a good person, or I also have to be baptized, or I also have to do this, that, or the other, perhaps be a member of a particular church or a church or anything. Let me tell you something. That kind of belief never got anyone anywhere as it relates to salvation. It is the belief in Jesus Christ alone. That's how we're saved. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. When he was on the cross, he shouted, "It is finished." The work that Jesus Christ did on the cross is what gives us access to the spiritual blessings we have in him. But we're saved by faith through grace. So that's the eternal life aspect of it. That's the birth. That's the salvation. But a believer has abundant life when he exercises his faith in Christ in his daily walk. Faith in Christ for salvation is a one-time event. Aren't you glad of that? But faith to the abundant life is daily walking by faith. Let me give you the next statement tonight. We're moving quickly this evening. Eternal life is based on the finished work of Christ for redemption. But the abundant life is based on the present work of Christ through the Holy Spirit operating in him. What does that mean? It means that in order to live the abundant Christian life, you've got to be led of the Spirit of God. You've got to be filled with the Spirit. You've got to, every day, yield yourself to the Spirit of God. It's amazing. The flesh is so, it's so powerful that we have to come before the Lord and we have to die daily. We have to submit our will to him maybe every day, maybe multiple times a day. It all depends on how many times you drive on the Lloyd Expressway for me. That's all I know, okay? I mean, you may have to repent and submit and surrender your life to the Lord. It has nothing to do with salvation. Eternal life is based on the finished work. When you are saved, it is finished. The work was done. But that abundant Christian life that we all need, we've got to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us every single day. Let me give you the next one tonight. Eternal life depends on a person's faith in Christ for salvation, upon which he is born again. Abundant life depends on the believer's continuous faith as he walks daily with the Lord. Let me give you the next one. Eternal life is secured by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Abundant life is experienced based on what the believer possesses in Christ. Ephesians not only teaches us how to be in Christ, but it also reveals that every believer lives with the possibility of a greater spiritual quality of life. And that comes through the Holy Spirit of God, and it comes by yielding. All of this helps us realize our true identity. Now, here's an assignment for you, something you look for in Ephesians. If you're doing this thing where you're just reading it and reading it and reading it, we're not having an official contest or an assignment or anything like that. But a thought for you today would be this, is as you read through the book of Ephesians, you need to write down who God says you are. Who God says you are. There are only three identities that we can adopt. Number one, we can adopt the identity of the world and what the world thinks we are. Do you understand the world has a wrong idea of what Christianity is? That's why they hated Christ. That's why Saul of Tarsus hated Jesus. He hated the thought of people turning away from Judaism to salvation. And he was the enemy of the cross, and he was zealously against that. And Jesus said there are going to be some who in the last days, they're going to mistreat and persecute and worse to Christians, and they will think that they do God's service. Why? Because they are of the world. And the world has the wrong idea of who Christians are and what Christianity is. Some of that's our fault. Much of that has to do with just the fact that the system that is the world has never had a proper understanding of who Jesus is. So we could adapt the identity of what the world thinks we are, or even worse, we could adapt the identity of who we think we are. No one has ever gotten that right in their flesh. No one has ever gotten that right by just sitting and thinking about it. The best thing we can do is embrace the identity that God gives us and who he says we are. positionally in Christ, in our possessions, spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You go through the book of Ephesians, you'll find such statements and such summarized inferences, if you will, as you read through it, of who God says you are in Christ. Like this, he says, you are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Every one of you who's in Christ, you're blessed. He says, you are chosen by God, Ephesians 1. You are adopted. Isn't that wonderful? You are in Christ. You are redeemed, Ephesians teaches us. You are forgiven. Praise God for that. I like this one. If I understand what God says about me, then it says that he does all things according to his will. That means I am here for a purpose. That's a big one. Everyone's looking for purpose. Ephesians tells me I'm included. I have FOMO, fear of missing out. Oh man, I love to be where the action is. I'm going to be watching these turkey hunts and elk hunts and all that, saying, that's not enough. I need to be there. You know, in Christ, I'm never excluded. I'm included. In Christ, listen to this, I'm sealed by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of promise. That's an assurance that the world can't give you. In Christ, I'm a saint. Now, you may disagree with that, but you're going to learn what a saint really is. In Christ, I'm alive. In Christ, I am his workmanship. You know, we have this big discussion about self-esteem. We don't need self-esteem. We need Christ's esteem. We need what he says about us. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In Christ, listen to this one. In Christ, before Christ, I was far off. But in Christ, I am brought nigh by the blood of the Lamb. I was never, as an outsider to the things of the Hebrews and the Jews, I was never supposed to be part of God's family. But thankfully, because of his grace, I am. I was brought nigh. In Christ, I'm secure. In Christ, I'm emboldened. You ever felt a little timid telling someone about Christ? I have. I was talking to another pastor about that today. I said, do you ever start to witness to somebody and you just go, oh, this is hard. Yeah, but when I live in my heavenly identity, I have boldness. Hey, I have access. I can have access to the Father because of who I am in the Son. I'm a holy temple in Christ. This is all in Ephesians, by the way. I'm a recipient of his great power. I'm able to approach him with boldness and access. And I like this one. In Christ, I am complete in him. I understand I've got a long way to go. I feel like the Apostle Paul, not as though I had already attained. And we all know how, if the Apostle Paul hadn't attained, then we sure haven't. But aren't you thankful that because of my position and my blessings in Jesus, God looks at me and sees the full picture? Maybe that has something to do with him being the fullness of the church. There's so many other things we could talk about, and we're just slowly working our way into Ephesians. But if we truly got a grasp of even what we just talked about tonight, it could revolutionize our faith. It could absolutely change the way that we live our daily walk. It could change the trajectory of our lives. Don't be guilty of living with God's eternal gift of salvation and never experiencing his abundant life. God didn't intend that for you. Let's consider that as we go forward.